Calling to order, Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors is excused. Councilmember Joan Hansen is excused. Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan is excused. City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Albert Echave, police chief, Tom Klimek, public works director, Elda Orduño, city attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation. Let us turn our thoughts to the victims of war and violence on the planet and have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, we have no proclamations or announcements tonight, and we have no one signed up for call to the public, so we'll go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $409,510.92.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $409,510.92. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes 4-0. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through K. I will read these. A, approval of the appointment of Kurt Minnick to the Bisbee Arts Commission. B, approval of the appointment of Elizabeth Romero to the Youth Council. C, approval of the appointment of Anthony Hemphill to the Youth Council. D, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Brewery Gulch for the 2015 Brewery Gulch Days to be held on Sunday, September the 6th, 2015, from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. E, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of various streets and staircases for the Bisbee 1000 stair climb on Saturday, October the 17th, 2015, from 5 a.m. till 8 p.m. This includes setup and breakdown. F, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of City Park for the Bisbee 1000 stair climb on Saturday, October the 17th, 2015, from 5 a.m. till 6 p.m. G, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Gore Park for the Bisbee 1000 stair climb on Saturday, October the 17th, 2015, from 5 a.m. till 6 p.m. H, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Grassy Park for the Bisbee 1000 stair climb on Saturday, October the 17th, 2015, from 5 a.m. till 6 p.m. I, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Bisbee Vogue Incorporated for an event to be held at 2 Copper Queen Plaza parking lot on Saturday, October the 17th, 2015, from 1:30 p.m. till 6 p.m., Cynthia Conroy, applicant. J, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Bisbee Radio Project Incorporated for an event to be held at Bisbee Royale, 94 Main Street, on Friday, September the 11th, Saturday, September the 12th, and Sunday, September the 13th, 2015, Ryan Bruce, applicant. And K, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Douglas Arts and Humanities Association Incorporated for an event to be held at 18 Brewery Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, Saturday, September the 5th, 2015, from 5 p.m. till 11 p.m. Do we have a motion?
Mayor, I'd like to remove item J for further discussion.
Without an objection from the council, we will pull item J. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda, items A through I and K.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, items A through I and K. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll call, please?
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Aye. Motion passes 4-0. Item J, Councilmember Dunn.
I've had people express concern about the hours on this. I think it's the permit is the 12 p.m. or 12 p.m. at midnight. Unfortunately, the applicant nor the individuals who expressed concern are here tonight, or at the moment. I don't know whether they're expecting a 7 o'clock meeting or what. I'm not quite sure whether we can discuss this later in the meeting or not.
It's a possibility that we could possibly table this. Our next meeting will be on September
That's
the
correct.
1st. Is that correct, Ms. Coronado? Would that allow us enough opportunity to maybe clarify some of these issues with Mr. Bruce?
They may run into a little bit of a time crunch when it comes to getting it approved by the state, but that would give them some time.
Would that time be sufficient, do you believe? Well, close.
Very close, because they asked.
You're not nodding real fast.
Yeah, I'm. It's just awkward, and the applicant nor the individuals who expressed concern are here, so it's just awkward to
well,
move
in the,
forward.
In the past, we have had emergency meetings, and I'm sure, you know, I'm out of the loop for some years, but I think of the baseball park, that some people would come in like 48 hours ahead of time or something, and so we'd have to hurry thing up. So it's a possibility we could have a, you know,
I don't like
special meetings for one item, but we could do that.
Well, I just want to express concern about the midnight hour that this function continues on, and we are on the edge, the facility is on the edge of a residential area, and that's the expression of concern.
Yeah. Well, to counter that somewhat, I would say that there are other places that serve liquor every night, I suppose, that probably are somewhat close to residential areas. I mean, I appreciate you bringing this up and talking about it. I don't have that particular concern because there's no bars near my house. But if you feel that is necessary, we can table that. And if we have a time crunch, Ms. Coronado, perhaps we could have a special session before the 1st.
Well, I think I would suggest we move forward with taking action on this and that we express concern to the applicant that concern has been voiced about the late hour and would they please mitigate the possibility of noise, or I guess that's really what the issue is.
Well, it is three nights, and I'm generally pretty lenient on things like that. I don't know if many people in the neighborhood are aware of this or how big of a concern that is. Why don't, if you'd like to make a motion or any other discussion on this item? I would prefer to table it and have a special meeting and or put it on the September the 1st agenda. That's what I would rather do.
Okay. I so move that we table this until our next meeting on this following Tuesday of next week, April 1, I guess it is.
September
1.
Thank you. That would give us a lot of time to decide.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on consent agenda item J. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll on that?
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Eartley?
Aye. This item will be tabled by a 4-0 vote. Item number 3, discussion and possible action to approve a contract with Melanie Green, Planning and Resource Development for on-call services related to relevant grant programs from August 26, 2015 to August 26, 2016. Mr. Justin Johnson, City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. What do you have before you is an agreement, as you said, is an agreement with for grant writing services with Melanie Green. We've actually had a contract with her in the past. As you all know, we are moving forward with the transition with the 5311 grant for the Bisbee bus, and with her expertise has provided some support in the past to us, as well as we were recently awarded a FEMA grant, the Assistance to Firefighters grant that she prepared. And so having a contractual agreement with her background and understanding and professional expertise in this particular area, I'm bringing this before you as a point of consideration to make sure that the staff, including the fire department, has some additional support in the event that it's needed.
Any questions or discussion from the council? Councilmember Dunn.
This is a continuation of the contract we already have with her. Is that not the case?
It does, but it expired. But this just kind of specifies a couple of additional items in there.
She's an excellent resource for us. Well, I move approval of a contract with Melanie Green, Planning and Resource Development, for on-call services related to relevant grant programs from August 26, 2015 to August 26, 2016.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes 4-0. Item number four, discussion of possible approval to adopt this 2015-2016 strategic work plan and City of Bisbee vision statement. Mr. Justin Johnson, City Manager, once again.
Thank you, Mayor. As you all know, we had a strategic work plan session a couple of months ago. And one of the main things I really wanted to get you all's approval on and blessing is the use of the vision statement that was crafted while we were sitting around the table. During the first night of our business, it really resonated with me the first night of Bisbee 101 when we had the discussion. We put the vision statement up as a draft, but I would like you all's blessing on the statement that you have in front of you to start, you know, using it, placing it on the city's website under the mayor and council page, you know, here in City Hall, and any other use as it relates to the mayor and council vision going forward.
Any questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion? I move that we approve the 2015-2016 strategic work plan and adoption of the City of Bisbee vision statement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number five, public hearing on the proposed general plan. And just to, before I open this public hearing, we have a few people signed up, and so we are going to open this public hearing. And is there any discussion by members of the public in support of the item? You can just come on up. Either support or opposition.
You must be.
I'm Linda Wyden.
Yeah, okay. You can say that name once again in that microphone so we got it taped.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. My name's Linda Wyland. I live at 19 Nighthawk in Bisbee. And I'd like to speak on the draft general plan update. The general plan is a very important document. It charts the city's future for the next 10 years and guides land use decisions that will impact the path of development for decades to come. That's why Arizona Revised Statutes specifically requires cities to update their general plans every 10 years, requires effective, early, and continuous public participation from all geographic, ethnic, and economic areas of the municipality, and requires an affirmative vote of 2/3 of the City Council members for adoption of the general plan update. The existing general plan was adopted in 2004. The world has changed significantly since then, and the general plan update should take those changes into consideration and take a new look at the big picture of where Bisbee is now and what we want for the future. I don't believe that the general plan update you have before you in draft format is adequate. I recommend that you continue this item to allow the Planning Commission time to consider new information contained in the Urban Land Institute Technical Advisory Panel report released last week, and to hold a public hearing to get additional comments from the public and from the iBisbee committee, and to allow time for the City Council to carefully consider the entire general plan update prior to adoption. I understand that the city has very limited staff and financial resources for the planning effort. Fortunately, we do have a planning commission made up of extremely talented people with extensive planning, education, and experience who can help to improve the proposed general plan update. The decision you make on the general plan update may be one of the most important decisions that you make to help guide future development and start Bisbee on a solid path towards recovery and future prosperity. Here are some of the problems I see with the proposed update currently before you. It does not include the recommendations of the Urban Land Institute report. Proposed policy changes are minimal, and there's not been adequate thought put into many of those new policies, resulting in the potential for unintended consequences and obstacles to actually meeting our goals. There's no update of the implementation strategy chart. The document's too long and difficult to use. The policy updates need to be considered in light of the big picture, which is hard given the general plan update report, which only lists the proposed changes in strikeout and underlying format. Also, the update seems to discriminate against the San Jose area and therefore some of BSBY's more ethnically diverse and less affluent neighborhoods. The general plan is intended to communicate BSBY's goals and vision for future development. It is used by sophisticated businesses and developers who may consider locating here. They purchase a copy of the general plan and take into consideration current conditions, the city's future direction, as well as business considerations. Then they locate a specific site for their project and develop preliminary plans intended to meet their business needs and to incorporate the city's desires to the extent that it is financially feasible for them. The city staff uses the general plan to evaluate proposed projects to ensure compliance with general plan policies, and typically some negotiation takes place to best meet the needs of both the applicant and the city. To illustrate the problems I see with the update in front of you as briefly as possible, I will just focus on two areas I'm especially interested in, the San Jose area and trails for pedestrian and bicycle use. The San Jose area is our major commercial area, the gateway to BSBY from both the west and the south, and the most likely location for the majority of future development. The general plan says on page 25, to spur growth in San Jose while continuing the revitalization of the city's historic core is the key of success, and establishment of development standards to guide future development is crucial to San Jose. To move toward those development standards, in 2008, the city held a week-long planning exercise resulting in the San Jose Charette Report, guiding principles and best practices for the San Jose District. In the proposed general plan update, there are two new policies which reference the Charette. Policy 7-1E says new residential development should incorporate the principles of the San Jose Charette Report. Policy 8-1F says new mixed-use development should incorporate the principles of the San Jose Charette Report. So based on these policies, the best practices of the San Jose Charette would appear to only apply to residential and mixed-use projects, but not to other uses such as commercial and industrial development in San Jose. A better policy might be that all new development in the San Jose area should incorporate the principles of the San Jose Charette Report to the maximum extent feasible. That would include the commercial and industrial also. Trails are also very important. They allow residents and tourists an alternative to driving, reduce traffic congestion and carbon footprint while enhancing public health and quality of life. The Urban Land Institute's report number one recommendation under the going forward top five priorities is focus on health and wellness as an economic driver by initiating organic niche agricultural efforts, building a connected trail system, expanding rural health care opportunities, and weaving it all together through concentrated tourism promotion and branding efforts. There is currently in the general plan a policy for the San Jose area that says, it's policy 8-1D, and it says require new residential developments to provide bike and pedestrian trail connectivity and linkages to neighborhoods, parks, schools, public facilities, and community services. The update before you weakens the existing policy by changing the word require to encourage. Cities typically adopt a trails plan, and then as properties along the trails develop, they require trail dedication or easements as conditions of permit approval. It takes a while, but over time, the trails are developed. With the wording proposed in the update, trails would be optional at the discretion of the developer and any developer who refuses to participate could cause a permanent gap in the trail. If we want to have trails in the future, it would make more sense to have a new policy that says something like, require all new development citywide to provide bike and pedestrian trail connectivity and linkages to neighborhoods, parks, schools, public facilities, and community services. If you look at the proposed policies relative to trails for Old Bisbee and the Warren area, they tend to strengthen the trails component in those areas rather than weakening it like as proposed for San Jose. Bisbee has done a good job in planning for the old Bisbee and Warren areas, and it shows. Those areas have attractive, they're orderly, and they have a sense of place. But that's not the case for San Jose. In the past 15 years that I've been in Bisbee, San Jose has continued to decline with hodgepodge development and signage, tall weeds, and open dumpsters. It kind of looks like Tijuana. This sends residents, tourists, and potential investors the message that Bisbee is a trashy place and we really don't care. I think we can do better than that. I encourage you to reject the current general plan update and take the time to refer it back to the Planning and Zoning Commission for additional work and public input prior to bringing a new improved update for you to you for adoption. Thank you.
Ms. Weiland, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Ms. Pulling, did you want to do that?
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Donna Pulling, and I live in Bisbee. And I concur with Ms. Weiland's suggestions that the general plan be referred back to the Planning Commission. And I wanted to point out that in early June, before the Urban League Institute met, we, Linda Weiland and myself, both met with the iBisbee committee to discuss the San Jose appearance. And specifically, we've been working quite a while on the dumpsters at the Safeway. And in addition to there not being a requirement in the city code that requires enclosures, that makes it difficult to have Safeway comply with enclosing and locking the dumpsters. And so this was one of the aspects about the general plan that we thought needed to be improved so that for future developers and future businesses there would be that requirement that we wouldn't have to keep going back over these same issues again and again. And the aspect of high grass, weeds, and litter along the commercial roadways was brought to the iBisbee committee during that meeting, and they also agreed that in order to attract development in the San Jose area, that it would be wise to have the Planning and Zoning Commission look at the conditions that are there. Mr. Stern said that he would bring it to the attention of the Planning and Zoning Commission to have them put our presentation on their agenda. And when we tried to get that item placed on the agenda of the Planning and Zoning Commission, Mr. Appel wrote back in an email that said that this was not within the purview of the Planning and Zoning Commission, that we were welcome to come and speak to call to the public, but that if these are zoning violations and that they needed to be dealt with through the city. So I think that the issues of the San Jose area in general need to be reexamined in regards to the general plan because it does set the tone for future development in that area. So I would encourage you to consider tabling this until the Urban League Institute report has been fully examined by all of the commissions, the Planning and Zoning, the iBisbee, and the Sustainability Commission, in order to add their input into upgrading the general plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak in favor and or against this particular issue? No? Ms. Coronado, were there any written communications on this?
No.
Okay. I'm going to close this public hearing. Is there any comments from the council?
Are we going to hear from staff?
Well, obviously, we're not voting on this tonight, just a public hearing tonight. I didn't understand your question.
Well, it was to be presented by staff here, and certainly there's an opportunity to provide background in terms of what has happened in preparation for this hearing.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Mr. Joe Ward?
I think I can clarify a couple of things here. That the iBISB committee was consulted by the Planning and Zoning Commission, who put this together, the amendments. And they did have specific guidelines that were put into the plan. That the Planning and Zoning Commission had three public hearings. Where one was required, they had three public hearings for the public to come and make comment. And we had trouble finding any public comment, very little. The trails are mentioned in the amendment to the general plan. It's not a big mention, but it is mentioned. And I just want to remind you that the general plan amendments were done by I would consider them brilliant volunteers on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they've worked long and hard on this. It's I've been working for a year and a half, and they were working long before I was hired. And the Planning and Zoning Commission sent this forward to you with their approval and the recommendation.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Is there any other discussion, comments from the council? Let me make a few statements. The general plan is somewhat of a guide. Ms. Orduño, correct me if I'm mistaken. It's somewhat of a guide, but it's not like the Constitution or locked in. It's just a general guide. And so I believe that equally, probably more important, are the boards, committees, and the commissions of the city that make recommendations to the mayor and council. So, I mean, I appreciate the comments that Ms. Weiland and Ms. Pulling made. I certainly do. But the city, from the recommendations from various committees and boards and commissions, ordinances can be created out of that. Projects can be created out of that. And it's another opportunity for the city to act from kind of a grassroots level. So those are my thoughts. So it's not locked in necessarily. And I pay very close attention to recommendations that various boards, committees, and commissions make, and I know the council does as well, and so does staff. So I don't have any other comments. Any other comments? Am I correct in that, would you say, Ms. Orduño? Thank
you.
Yes,
Mayor.
Well, Mayor?
Yeah.
A reminder that, as Mr. Ward indicated, iBISB did take this very seriously in terms of making recommendations into the general plan. The iBISB on May 1st made a presentation to council in which they presented their strategic plan in terms of economic development plan for the city of Bisbee. And so this is certainly, again, part of this process, this planning process. And so I think that, and certainly the Urban Land Institute, is true that that occurred after the final hearings, but certainly the questions that were presented to the panel were developed by the iBISB committee, and they reflect the priorities as established in the document that was presented to council, and so I think are certainly fully covered. I guess one question of staff: when is this due?
It's overdue, I believe.
That's my point. I believe it was due July 1, I believe, is what the state has indicated this was due, and we pushed this out in terms of holding additional hearings and able to get public input, which we did not have until now, so we do need to move forward on this.
I agree, and my comments were kind of directed at Ms. Weiland and Ms. Pulling. Ideas that you may have on various committees or boards that you or commissions that you serve on, and recommendations to the council as what you think we need to do at various times as I said just a few minutes ago, council takes those recommendations very seriously. And so I would recommend also, or I would like for you to think about what you have ideas, you know, have those committees or commissions or boards present them to the council. You want to speak again? Certainly. Go ahead.
If I could just say one thing. I definitely wanted to talk to the Planning Commission. I mean, I think the plan is so important. So I was really on the lookout for any meetings, any hearings. It's really difficult as a member of the public, and I'm just speaking as a member of the public, to actually get access to the Planning Commission. As Donna explained, we tried to get some get something on their agenda, and they flat turned us down. We wanted to go to the call to the public at the next meeting, and it was canceled. The only way that I know that you can be aware of what the Planning Commission agenda is if you go on the website the day before, and I missed it in July. You know, the June meeting was canceled. The July meeting I missed. It was a 26-minute meeting. The August meeting was canceled. And I actually took a look at the Planning Commission meetings, and this year they haven't had a commission that lasted longer than a half an hour. Several have been closed. And you know, I'm just saying that the public input is so crucial. And I know it's frustrating when you try to have public input and nobody shows up, but I think they should have a better way to make people aware. And I just wanted to let you know, we really tried hard to talk to the Planning Commission, because I hate to come and talk to the City Council and tell them, you know, about my frustrations. I'd rather talk about our successes, which are many. So I just wanted to thank you for the chance to talk and to be aware of that fact, that it's not as easy as it might seem to get public input that is required for the general plan. Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
I do wish to remind council that President Mark Appel did write an editorial for the local newspaper, wrote a number of articles, and there were public notices in the newspaper. Yeah. I don't want to get in, you know, into this, but the council made, I am the liaison to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I know they made repeated efforts in terms of getting input, including several major coverage in the local media. So
I appreciate your comments, Councilman. Any other comments? If not, we are now going to move to item number 6, discussion of possible approval of a special use permit 15-01 submitted by Ilse Bell for the purpose, I hope I said your name right, for the purpose of allowing mixed occupancy of her building. And I do have her signed up. Would you like to come up?
Okay.
Yeah.
My name is Elise.
Elise.
First off, aloha. I just moved here from Maui, Hawaii, where I've spent most of my life. I moved here to be part of the community, not just to have a home. I bought a commercial building on the corner of Naco Highway and 92, right near Jimmy's Hot Dogs. It's a two-story building. I paid cash for the building. I've put quite a bit of money into remodeling it. I would like to have a shop downstairs. I am ready to go with the shop. I need your approval to be able to live upstairs above my store. The living quarters are beautiful, and I don't see any reason why you wouldn't say yes. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me call the city building inspector, Mr. Joe Ward, up now.
As you guys can see by the material you're given, the Planning and Zoning Commission sent this with their approval unanimously. And it's not unreasonable that Ms. Bell could live there. The issue was that it was, you know, which was the primary use. There's commercial and residential, and so therefore it's before you guys.
Any questions or comments from the council?
Mayor, I move approval of a special use permit 1501 submitted by Lise Bell for the purpose of allowing mixed occupancy of her building.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 7, discussion of possible approval to proceed with a grant and loan application through the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, USDA-RDA. Mr. Tom Klimak, Public Works Director, City of Bisbee.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor and City Council. Good evening. Before you is a request and also a recommendation from the Public Works Department and myself personally. I spent a fair amount of time working with USDA Rural Development coordinators and staff members. This is a program that's been underway for a long time. What you're seeing here is a proposal from the USDA Rural Development after they've reviewed our financial status as a city. They have run the numbers on the preliminary engineering report and the recommendations that were made for improvements to the wastewater treatment plant. And after running the numbers, what they discovered was that the city was eligible for a grant. However, they wanted to couple that with a loan. And at first, when I heard that, I was a little shocked by it. And but their program is set up to help communities. And what's meant by that is to put loans out there, not only grants, but also loans. What they did is they looked at our books, and essentially they said that we've generated enough revenue on an annual basis that if we were to continue as we're going with the revenue generated by our wastewater fees coming in, that we should be able to make repairs as we go. However, we've had some subsequent discussions with our finance director, and it was pointed out that, yes, we do have the money, but what you need to do is be cautious as you proceed because, you know, we're in a tight cash flow situation at this time. And granted, although the money is there, it doesn't necessarily mean that future revenues will follow in line as we would think that they would. You know, the wastewater department or wastewater division of the Public Works Department right now, along with finance, are looking at ways to collect on unpaid sewer bills, monthly sewer bills, which have not been paid. So, you know, we've got a significant amount of dollars that are being held up and not flowing through the wastewater division of Public Works. So there's a word of caution here that, yes, right now it looks like we've got the money, but again, we've been told by our finance director, proceed cautiously, okay? Because even though we may have the money, should things slow down any further, we may not have it. Now, what's the corollary to this? Corollary is that if we don't proceed with this particular offer of a grant, we would have to spend a grant and loan combination, is that we may find ourselves a year or two or three down the road where we won't have enough money to make these improvements. With a low interest loan that they're proposing at 2.875%, they've indicated to us that that's a 40-year loan projection and that we could pay that off at any time. However, they did forewarn me that, hey, just don't take the loan this week and then pay it off the following week because you've got this bounty of money in your coffers. You know, use it as a mechanism so that you can look at your cash flow and how your money is coming in and how you're spending it. So, you know, based on what we've done in recent years, we're very judicious in how we spend our money, where we spend it, and what we pay for things. So we're not looking to buy product or replace parts and equipment and materials, things that we don't need. So, in addition to what I've already said, to be given this grant of $580,000, that's a lot of money. And to leave that for somebody else to take, so it's a little bit of a carrot, but then in a way it's not because, you know, we are proceeding cautiously, and I believe that, you know, we do have the money to pay that loan off. Maybe an example to use is buying a $500 refrigerator at 0% interest. You may have the $500 in your savings account, but you may not want to use it. You'd rather pay $50 a month at 0% interest. In this case, the interest rate is very low. So it's similar to that, but again, there's a word of caution with this. And all I'm looking for this evening is the approval to proceed with USDA Rural Development to even apply. So we haven't applied. It's all out there on the table for us to review, to discuss it again if we need to. But they've also indicated to us that come September, they would like to have the word from us that we're planning to move forward. And that's what I'm looking for this evening is the a positive intent to move forward.
Thank you. A couple quick questions. The grant loan is somewhat tied together, it appears. And so let me also move on. I think what's important to the public to know is what are we going to get? What's going to be fixed or repaired or something new to happen? This is important.
Well, right up front, what we have is we have to have a surge basin constructed. Okay, that surge basin is it's in an amount of about $300,000. And what that will do is that will prevent major wastewater flows. Something that very few people ever talk about is, and last year was a good example when we had the hurricane storm. Of course, that was an exceptional storm, but we've had smaller storms in the past that we have a lot of roof drains in Old Bisbee. We've got roof drains in the Warren District that are connected to our sanitary sewer system. Now, our plant is sized to handle 1.2 million gallons per day flow. But when you start surcharging that plant with 1.4, 1.5 million gallons, what you're doing is you're overflowing the headworks. And last year, you know, we've had some estimates that we may have had as much as a 300,000-gallon sewage spill at our wastewater treatment plant. Now, all that was reported to ADEQ, so they're well aware of it. And then we did whatever was necessary to do the cleanup to make it environmentally clean again. But we can't continue to put ourselves in these kinds of situations where we're exceeding the capacity of the headworks of the plant. So the surge basin is A number one that needs to go in. We're also in the process of, we just approved recently $150,000 a couple months ago for safety equipment, platforms, staircases, safety ladders, et cetera. And that's already on the books and that's running. So right there, you know, off the top, we're looking at about $450,000 short of $1.1 million grant loan combination. There's other things at the plant. You know, we have some actuators. We have some aerators, blowers. We're also looking at making some site improvements, which will make it easier for us to access our some of our buildings, in particular where we have our belt press. To put a platform at the belt press so that we can more efficiently collect our sludge that comes off of the belt press. So there's just a whole combination of different things that need to be done. We also, under our, when we did our solar plant, we also constructed a washdown station, of which the plan had always been to provide a water service to that washdown building. We don't have water there. So those are some of the items that we're looking at. So
on a detention basin, the water slowly dissipates out. Is that correct? How that
yeah,
works?
What'll happen essentially is it just increases the size of the wet well so that it doesn't overflow on top of the ground. It allows the water to back up into the basin.
Right.
So that we don't get these huge flows on the surface of the ground.
But not to be confused with a retention basin.
That's correct. This would be detention, and I refer to it as a surge basin. It takes that huge storm surge that hits that plant all at one time or within a short period of time.
Yeah. So is there going to be also some safety repairs done there?
Yes, in fact, our city manager just this afternoon had sent some out. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it's the early stages of some of the delivery of some of the platforms that we initiated contract with S.J. Anderson, like I say, a couple, two, 3 months ago. So that's all coming to fruition, and they're going to want to be paid. We have the money to pay them, but again, that's part of that chunk of money that we're talking about.
Well, let me say I applaud your efforts in this particular area very much, Mr. Climack. Any other questions from the or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve proceeding with a grant and loan application through the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development to continue with the design and construction of the recommendations made in the preliminary engineering report for the San Jose Wastewater Treatment Plant upgrades.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 8, discussion and possible approval of resolution R-15-11 to authorize the application to the Water Infrastructure Finance Authority, WIFA, for grant funds for drainage improvements in Tin Town. Once again, Mr. Tom Climack, Public Works Director, City of Bisbee. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just earlier in the evening, I passed these out. This is just a draft copy of an application that we put together in Public Works, together with some other folks who have endorsed this application with us. Some of those endorsements came from Freeport McMoran. Got a letter in here from them. Also the WaterWise group, who has locally been involved in helping us in water harvesting, and also the Citizen Scientist group out of the University of Arizona. This is the type of project that I think WIFA is going to really like, okay, because it's a combination of controlling stormwater that ravages Tin Town, and we've had a recent example of that. Our new lift station was underwater recently because of the amount of water that came down one of the streets there at Tehran Street. Number one is to get that stormwater under control. Freeport McMoran is looking to dedicate land to the city for detention basins. And once we have control of the water, then we can look further down the road. And actually, this grant application is a precursor to a community development block grant that we've got in place starting hopefully in January of next year, 2016. For paving and storm drain improvements. We kind of backed up a little bit because in that project we had a drainage study. But then when this was brought to my attention, this WIFA opportunity for storm drain analysis, I could save money out of the community development block grant program that we earmarked for doing drainage studies in that project, save that money for construction to give us more paving, more drainage piping, and then address this $35,000 project through WIFA as a grant. This is an outright grant.
Yeah.
And we would do this the same way that we did the pilot project up in Old Bisbee, and we actually were able to, and I'm kind of regressing here a little bit, but on that particular project, it was the same thing. It was $35,000 from WIFA. The city participated with our labor force in the amount of about $28,000. In this case, it's going to involve some expertise that we in Public Works can provide, as well as the expertise from the Citizen Science Group in terms of soil science analysis, crop analysis, because we've got a green element in this project. We control the storm drainage, and then we take that same water, we treat it, okay, so we can grow crops for human consumption. And then this would result in a community garden in Tin Town on one of the larger lots. In fact, it's the one where we had the tent set up across from the lift station when we had our ribbon cutting ceremony for the sanitary sewer project when it was constructed. Freeport McMoran's indicated they'd be willing to grant that land to us. So the land coming from Freeport McMoran allows us to control the drainage and to build adequate-sized detention basins, and then we'll bleed that water off, filter it, and use it for irrigation. And that's where WaterWise comes into the program, as well as Citizen Scientists. So it's almost an ideal WIPA project because they have money available for drainage projects and green projects. So this has both components. So this package is about ready to go. The only thing I'm waiting for is a resolution which demonstrates that the council is backing up this project. And we're looking to submit this tomorrow.
Any questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve resolution R-15-11 to authorize the application to the Wastewater Infrastructure Finance Authority, WIFA, for grant funds for drainage improvements in Tintown.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado, any other comments? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Downey?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously 4-0. Item number 9, discussion and possible approval to purchase 3 new gas meters and 1 calibration meter for checking for poisonous gases in confined spaces from Connie Safety for the wastewater collection staff for a total of $3,885.94.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like Mr. Heratic to explain the purpose of this particular council action form, and actually it came through his services that we became aware of this product.
Mr. Andy Heratic from Public Works Department.
Mr. Mayor, Council. At every lift station or manhole cover in the city of Bisbee or any city in the United States or world, gas collects in these underground chambers. There, about 8 months ago, I toured 16 wastewater plants throughout the state of Arizona and became very aware that we were remiss in our responsibility to our employees for not providing them for these gas meters. Now, by all OSHA standards, fire departments, police departments, wastewater departments never pull a manhole cover off ever without first testing to see what the level of gas is down in that manhole. Within the world of wastewater, one of the most deadly parts of working in wastewater is getting to a manhole and being overwhelmed by gases. These gases can be chlorine if you're treating your sanitary sewer lines with chlorine for odor. Those gases accumulate in the lift stations and down in the manholes. And you can lose firemen, policemen, and wastewater personnel within minutes once they're in those chambers if they have not tested for the gases first. Now, the other part that works with this is at the lift stations, there'll actually be stickers that'll be placed on every lift station, and it'll be noted on that lift station, you don't open the lift station lid until you've tested 4 gases. These meters are sensitive enough that you don't even take the lid off. You do your first round of testing. You wave the meter over the manhole cover of the lift station. That's the first way to test to see if any gases are leaking out of those underground chambers. Right now, the city has a single gas meter. It's battery operated, and there's no way to calibrate it. So that gas meter may or may not work. If the batteries are in it, you see a number, you may have a number, but there's no way for us to calibrate that to make sure that it's reading accurately. What these 3 meters do is they give 3 men in the field who are in the field every day in our collections division, which is a separate division of wastewater, an opportunity to have a holster with a gas meter on it so that every time they come to a manhole or a lift station, they can safely test those gases before they take off the lid or enter that chamber. This is a requirement of OSHA. We do have the 1 meter. This is additional safety. So, what happens with 1 meter is it's hugely inefficient. You leave the meter in one location, and before you go out to check anything, you come back and get the meter. If somebody else is running the vector, they have to wait till the other person's done. The meter has to come back, be checked out again. And then it's very inefficient, and so what these 3 gas meters do is this gives everybody in our collections department now has a gas meter. So what we have done is this is the best of 3 prices, and I picked a device that with the help of the men in collections, I actually let them pick the device that they wanted, and we lucked out and happened to be the best of 3 prices. It also includes a calibrator and the gas tanks that you use with it so that you can continuously keep these upgraded and working properly.
price on these is $3,885.94, and it currently will come out of the wastewater's budget.
Thank you, Mr. Heretic. Obviously, this is a pretty serious concern. Any questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the purchase of 3 new gas meters and 1 calibration meter for checking for poisonous gases in confined spaces from County Safety for the wastewater collection staff for a total of $3,885.94.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? Discussion? No? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously 4-2-0. Thank you, Mr. Heretic.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
You're welcome. Item number 10, City Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mayor. Quickly, just want to let you all know that the Public Works Department will start paving over in the Warren area. They were able to work closely with KNG to get another load, about 150 tons of 300, nice, over the course of 2 days. Nice. And so they'll start the paving process on Monday. Over here in the Warren, the department is sticking to the plan that was outlined several months ago, and so just want to let you all know that's occurring. In addition, also, I sent you all an email with some photos. The wastewater plant safety improvement started today. If you all recall, there were a number of spirited conversations and discussions and presentations about safety improvements at the plant. And so we sent you all some pictures today so you have that in your inbox just to see exactly what's going on. We certainly encourage you all to go out and check it out and take a look what's happening. The police department, Fisher Industries, they're doing some paving work along Highway 80. And so they made contact with the Bisbee Police Department to see if whether or not we could provide some safety services in that particular area after hours, if you will, and they're willing to compensate the police officers and also compensate us for the use of our vehicles. It's something that we've done in the past. So if you see a vehicle just outside the city limits, that's what's happening. And lastly, last week we met with the City of Douglas, myself, Lorena Valdez, and Sharon Bono met with the City of Douglas as it relates to the Bisbee bus transition plan, and that's actually moving along just fine. So, all right, thank you.
We have a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.